Now recording.
Everyone ready for the clap sync? All right. 3, 2, 1.
Let's jam. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Can we do that thing that they do in kids' audiobooks where it plays a little sound every time you've got to turn the page?
Yes. What's that sound effect from
the Cabbage Patch?
Yeah.
What an episode.
What a crazy 10 years it's been.
What a wild 10 years it's been since we last recorded an episode.
Indeed.
We should just do like a Masterpiece Theater style intro. I'm not feeling very improv-y right now, so I think Josh or Jeremy or Mads will have to do it.
And what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah.
This is a very special presentation of the Untwisted Podcast Players performing the audiobook version of Santa Claus. Just make it kind of a formal...
All right, well, there you go. Jeff's just done the intro.
Yeah, just use that.
we tricked you.
God damn it. But make it drawn out and funny.
We bamboozled you, Jeff.
I can't think what Marge says in her, like, Halloween episode openings. The following podcast is deemed too scary.
Donald Trump said something negative about Kamala Harris, and I'm here to say, as a writer of The Simpsons, that I'm not okay with that.
Is that your Mark Simpson?
Gracious. No, that's too new.
Yeah, that's a thing that actually happened recently. I don't know if you have seen that, but it's really terrible.
I've not seen it. It sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they redid the Treehouse of Horror thing with Marge coming out in front of the curtain. She's like, I'm just here to say, and then instead she like gives a lecture about like some disparaging remark Trump made about Kamala Harris. And it's like, just kill me.
That's hilarious because I thought you had made that up whole cloth.
Yeah, I thought you were making that up.
No.
It seemed like a spot on parody of like something lame The Simpsons wouldn't do.
And they did.
I mean, I definitely wasn't like reading it word for word. I don't know exactly what she says, but it's something.
But like yeah, that. just the fact like without making it some added joke, just have Marge come out and, you know, speak to something like that.
Marge. Midge.
All right.
All right.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Untwisted.
This guy.
Yeah.
Merry holidays. That's secular enough, right?
Ho, 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 mate.
No, you're a ho. Yeah.
Goodness.
He knows it's true.
Fuck. Oh, we all know it's true.
Don't we all?
We hope everyone's enjoying the holiday season. Thanks for being patient on new content again. Last time you heard from us was Halloween.
The best holiday season.
We're still working on new episodes, getting them ready to come out soon. But in the meantime, we thought we would do something a little special for Christmas, and not fake Christmas like we did last time, but real Christmas this time.
Goodness. Even though real Christmas is kind of a fake Christmas anyway.
Whoa.
Also, this isn't really Christmas.
How are these people celebrating Christmas right after their Halloween episode? They didn't even celebrate Thanksgiving.
We're pretending that it's Christmas, but really it's 2 weeks before Christmas.
Australia doesn't have Thanksgiving.
Nah, it'll probably be Christmas by the time this comes out.
Really?
We ho ho hope you enjoy it.
I was going to give all you shit for ruining the magic by telling people when this is recorded and that Christmas is fake anyway. But then Jeremy saved it with ho ho hope. I love it.
Well, you can tell they're Australian because they don't consider the whole month of December to be Christmas the way that we do in America.
No, because it's my birthday month. I don't need Christmas.
Maz is Jesus.
I don't need you.
That's why you didn't send me a present.
I'm going to do the rest of the podcast by myself.
I don't need this podcast.
This bitch.
All right, here we go. It's 2:30 p.m. on Monday, the 14th of December, 2020. We're ready to do it.
It is Christmas in my heart.
It's Christmas in December.
I'm still running on birthday fumes.
That's right. Happy birthday, Maz.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Lol.
Happy birthday, Maz.
Thanks.
All right. And that's it. We're done.
That was a great bonus birthday episode for Maz.
Just a Maz birthday.
We should do a Christmas episode next time we meet up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should read Santa Claus.
Oh, that's a great idea.
You know what? That's a great idea.
Let's fucking do it.
Let's scrap what we were going to do and do that now.
Yeah, whatever that was.
Are you sure? I liked that other idea that we had.
But don't cut away like when we watch Strictly Ballroom. Like, let's actually do that right now. On the microphones. You guys ready?
Okay.
All right.
If you insist.
And we're back.
God damn it, Josh. You weren't recording any of that?
Oh, shit. Were we supposed to record that?
Yes, we were
that?
Supposed to record.
Let's do it again, then.
Okay.
Now we have to do it again.
And again and again.
And again and again and again and again. It'll be even better. Second take.
That's okay. This time we'll do it well.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special presentation. Today, we have the Untwisted Podcast players acting in their audiobook version of Santa Claus, written by P. Jennings.
That was wonderful.
That was beautiful, Jeff.
So the cast list, we have Josh playing. Josh, who are you playing?
We haven't totally figured out who we're all playing yet, so we'll kind of figure it out as we go. But we should probably figure out who is going to start off. Who's in the first scene here?
I think I'm the narrator here.
Maz is the narrator.
Okay, so Maz is the narrator in this first section. Who's going to be the kid?
Jeremy.
Me.
Perfect. He's Australian.
Who's going to be mum?
Jeremy is Sean.
All right.
He could be Sean and the mum.
Jeff, you be the hypnotist.
We should leave all this in, by the way.
It's the role I was born to play.
I'll be Mrs. White.
Okay.
Hot.
Hot.
All right. If it wasn't clear yet, we are reading Santa Claus, the written story that the episode was based on, just for fun.
Just for funsies.
Hopefully it'll be fun for us and for you guys.
All right. Prologue starting now. I've never seen anything like it before,
said the hypnotist.
You say he had a perfectly normal mouth yesterday?
Yes,
said Mrs. White, looking at the tiny hole in the middle of her son's face.
A perfectly ordinary mouth, just like anyone else.
Now look at it. It's so small, there's only just enough room to poke in one pea at a time. The only food he can get into his mouth is soup sucked up through a straw. He can't talk, he can't stick out his tongue, and he can't eat.
He can't stick out his tongue.
A squeaky, gobbling noise came out of Sean's little mouth hole.
Good grief. What did he say?
Asked the hypnotist.
He said he can't kiss either. He won't be able to kiss his girlfriend.
No! Oh. The hypnotist bent over and had another look.
Incredible,
he said.
You couldn't even push a pencil through that little opening. I'm surprised a straw fits in. Are you sure you don't know how it happened?
Sean nodded his head up and down vigorously.
He has no idea,
said Mrs. White.
He can't remember anything about it at all. He just doesn't know what happened.
I don't normally work on Christmas Day,
said the hypnotist.
But this is different. This is an emergency. What can I do to help?
If it's an emergency, then.
We must find out where Sean's lips have gone,
answered Mrs. White anxiously.
The doctors won't do anything until they find out what happened. But how is he going to tell us? He can't talk.
Mrs. White pulled out a sheaf of paper and a biro.
He is very good at writing. I thought he might write it down for us.
The hypnotist slapped his knee enthusiastically.
What the hell is a biro?
Yeah,
a pen. Okay, what?
Oh. A pen, yes, of course.
What's a sheaf of paper?
He said.
What is a sheaf? What? Didn't even notice that.
It's a sheaf of paper.
Okay, well, I've got my sheaf here. It might work.
Very good, he said.
Is what the kid would say.
It just might work. Come and sit at the desk, Sean. We will see what you can remember.
The hypnotist was very happy. He had never heard of a case of a lost mouth before. He decided he would write this one up.
Ooh.
Everyone would be interested in the case of the boy with the smallest mouth in the world.
Oh my, yes. Close your eyes,
he said to Sean in a dreamy voice.
Close your eyes and take 5 deep breaths. At the end of the 5th breath, you will open your eyes. You will remember what happened to your mouth. You will pick up the pen and write the whole thing down. The whole story. Right from the beginning.
Sean closed his eyes and took 5 deep breaths. On the 5th breath, he opened his eyes and picked up the pen. This is what he wrote.
All right, insert one of those, like, dream sequence pop sound effects.
Chapter 1 begins.
It all started on Christmas Eve. I had to look after my little brat of a brother.
Take him into Myers and show him the Christmas windows,
said Mum.
Keep him busy for about 2 hours where Helen and I wrap up the Christmas presents. We don't want him to see us wrapping them up, do we? After all, he still believes in Santa Claus. I guess I'll voice all women the same.
Well, that is still her.
Oh, it is? Is Mrs. White Mum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Am I doing Sean's dialogue also?
Yes.
Yeah.
That would make sense. But Mum, why can't Helen do it? I said. I hate taking him shopping. He's a real pain. He gets lost and he won't do what he's told. It's Christmas Eve and I want to go and see my new girlfriend. What a sick cunt.
Your own brother comes before girlfriend,
she answered.
Rose before hose.
Goodness.
And Helen is helping me wrap up the presents. Now off you go and don't give me any more arguments.
It was no use. I had to go. I took Robert's hand and dragged him out to the tram stop. We lived in Fitzroy and it was only 4 stops on the tram to Myers. Robert sat there sucking this dirty, big icy pole with loud slurping noises.
What?
Everyone in the chair was looking at us. How embarrassing. I tried to pretend I wasn't with him, but he kept asking me stupid questions. Like,
how come you've got pimples on your chin, Sean?
Oh, fuck, get wrecked. After what seemed like 10 years, we finally got to Myers.
I want to go and see Santa Claus,
whined Robert. No way, I told him. I'm going to the record bar and that's that.
Ooh,
I grabbed
him
by the scruff of the... What the fuck is a record bar?
Yeah. You know, the bar where you get fucked up and listen to music.
You listen to records, mate, because it's probably the late 80s.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, PJ. The PJU.
1987.
Wait, where was I?
You grabbed him by the scruff of the neck.
Oh, yeah.
I got to do some Foley art here.
I grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and pulled him up to the record bar. I wanted to buy a couple of records. My favorite singers are Madonna and Sally Fritz. Is Sally Fritz a real person? Did we talk about that? We probably did.
It does sound familiar.
I have a very sexy poster of Sally Fritz at home on my bedroom wall. Mum doesn't like it. She says it's not very nice. I didn't have time to buy a Sally Fritz record, though. As soon as we got there, Robert started up again.
Santa Claus! I want to see Santa Claus!
No, I said.
If you don't take me to Santa, I'll pee on the floor.
He yelled. You wouldn't, I said. Not in front of all these people. I looked around. The place was packed out with people doing their last-minute Christmas shopping.
I will so too,
he shouted at the top of his voice.
Can I do that again? That wasn't at the top of my voice.
Okay.
I will so too,
he shouted at the top of his voice. He started to lift up the leg of one side of his short trousers. People were looking. I went pale. He was going to do it. He was really going to do it with all of Melbourne watching. You win, I said weakly. I'll take you to see Santa. We walked across to the lifts and squeezed in with the rest of the crowd. The lift stopped at the 5th floor and everyone except Bing. Us got out. I think Santa is on the roof garden, I told Robert.
He better be,
was all Robert said. The doors opened and we stepped out into the black night. The whole place had changed. There was no roof garden and no Santa. There weren't even any lights. It looks like it's different this year, I told Robert. Santa must be on a different level.
You tricked me!
He screamed.
You tricked me. I'm telling Mum, I'm dobbing on you.
Hell yeah.
You promised to take me to see Santa.
He really was a brat. I was sick of the whole thing. Why did I always have to get stuck with him? There isn't any Santa Claus, I blurted out. It's only an old man dressed up with a cotton wool beard and a pillow stuffed down his shirt. There's no pillow such belly. Person as Santa Claus.
Pillow belly. There is.
He screamed.
There is, there is, there is.
He started stamping his foot on the ground. Then he turned and ran back to the lift. He jumped in just as the doors were closing. He was gone. Fuck. Fuck, mate. Things are getting hectic up in here. I rushed over to the closed doors. I had to find him, and quick. If he went home alone, Mum would murder me. I pushed the button on the wall and waited. That's when I heard a voice, a high, squeaky voice.
Help!
It said.
Help me! I can't hold on much longer.
I looked around, but I couldn't see anyone.
Over here!
Squeaked the voice.
Over on the edge!
I ran over to the edge of the building. A steel rail ran all the way around to stop people falling over. I still couldn't see anything. Then I noticed a hand hanging onto one of the rails. Someone was dangling over the edge of the building, and we were six stories up. I looked again at the hand.
Fuck.
There was something strange about it. It wasn't an ordinary hand. It was a very hairy hand with claws on the end, long bent claws like those of a lion.
Rawr.
I peered over the edge and could just make out a dark figure hanging on for grim death. Here, I said, take my hand. Another clawed hand grasped mine and I heaved the panting figure over the edge. It fell gasping to the floor.
Thank you.
Said the squeaky voice.
Wait, no,
voice.
It's still squeaky. Thank you.
Said the squeaky voice.
You've just saved the life of Santa Claus number 16,543.
It's a very different voice to in the show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it the same number as in the show? I don't remember.
Fuck, someone should look that up. Email us at untwistedpodcast@gmail.com.
All right, I'll look it up and then I'll email you.
Okay, good. All right. I peered at the weird little man who stood before me. He was short with a grubby face and a dirty tangled beard that might once have been white. He was wearing a faded Santa Claus outfit, which had a big hole in the pants. But the strangest thing about him were the claws on his hands. He held up his hands and extended the claws. Ooh, like a cat.
Meow.
They were long and sharp. He could have ripped my ear off with them if he wanted.
Santa Claus,
he said again.
Number 16,543.
I grinned. You've got it wrong, I said. It's spelt C-L-A-U-S, not C-L-A-W-S.
The little man sighed. It's you to us, Marge. Not you to you. Yes, they've changed it. It should be spelt with a W, but they thought it frightened the children. Nothing is the same these days.
I started to laugh. Santa with claws. That's a good one. What would Santa want claws for? He looked cross. He didn't like me laughing at him.
How do you think we get up all those chimneys?
He said.
We have evolved claws, just like giraffes have evolved long necks. We need the claws for scrambling up the chimneys.
We, I said. What do you mean we? There's only supposed to be one Santa, and he certainly doesn't look like you.
Rubbish!
He replied.
How could one Santa possibly get down all those chimneys in one night? There are millions of us.
Fuck, that's a good point. You got me there, Santa. Well, how come you're so grotty then, I asked. Boy, this bloke was really a nut. I decided to humour him. He might be dangerous.
You try scrambling up and down chimneys in the middle of the night and see how clean you stay.
He said hotly. Wow, that's hot.
That's hot.
Hot as fuck.
That's hot, mate. Hot as fuck. Ho, ho, hot as fuck. I decided to leave. I didn't want that little brat Robert getting home before me and telling Mum that I said there was no such person as Santa Claus. She wouldn't like that very much at all. I turned around and headed for the lift. Santa Claus came with me. The lift opened and we both stepped in. Where are you going? I asked him.
Home with you. You saved the life of a Santa Claus. Now I have to reward you.
Think nothing of it, I said. I don't need a reward. I didn't want this grubby, peculiar little clawed person walking around town with me.
Rude.
Yeah, fucking hell, mate.
I have to give you your reward. It's the rule. rules,
he insisted.
You saved my life, and now you and all the children in your family get 2 wishes each. Anything you want.
Or just the children, fucking ageist.
Just the tip.
This bloke was mad. I looked at his claws again. With one swipe, he could rip my hair off. I didn't answer. I was too scared. The lift went straight down to the ground floor and we stepped out into the busy shop. I walked quickly, hoping he would get lost, but no such luck. He stuck to me like glue. People were looking at us and whispering to each other, but Santa Claus didn't seem to notice. Your fly is open, I told him. Do your fly up, for heaven's sake. He bent over and pulled up his zip with one of his claws.
Ho, ho, hot as fuck.
They should have left that in the episode. A lady with blue hair came bustling up
Marge?
To us.
Marge?
Smart.
Yeah, someone do a Marge voice.
Shameful.
Did you hear that Trump spoke about Kamala Harris?
She said angrily.
Shameful. Disgusting.
She said angrily.
How can you walk around in front of all these children with that filthy Santa's outfit? How can they believe in Santa when you look like that?
I'm glad this character is only there for a moment.
Just then, the shop Santa came walking along with a sack full of toys over his shoulder. He had a huge woolly beard and shiny vinyl boots. My Santa waved to him. The shop Santa didn't wave back.
Rude.
People were starting to boo and shout at us. Let's get out of here, I said. You're making a lot of trouble.
Shout.
Why are they booing us? Why would they come to our concert just, to boo us? We ran out of Myers and jumped onto the tram. Santa Claus sat next to me. Everyone in the tram stared at us the whole way back. Santa was smelly. Even his breath smelled and he had yellow teeth. Don't they have toothbrushes at the North Pole? I asked sarcastically. Claus looked offended, but he didn't say anything. When the conductor came, I had to pay Claus's fare. He didn't have any money.
Left it in me sleigh,
he said.
When I made that forced landing at Myers.
Yeah, how convenient.
Cut back to the hypnotist's room.
Mrs. White and the hypnotist snatched at each page as Sean finished writing it.
Astonishing,
cried the hypnotist.
Absolutely astonishing.
Sean continued scribbling away, still in a trance.
We finally reached home and I opened the front door. Goodbye, I said to the grubby little Santa. You enter by the chimney, I believe. To my amazement, Claus pushed past me into the lounge room. Mum was out, but my big sister Helen and Robert were sitting under the Christmas tree. Robert was crying with large fake tears.
There he is,
he yelled, pointing at me.
He said there was no Santa. He said Santa was fake.
Then Helen started in.
What a mean thing, Sean. Fancy telling a little boy there's no Santa. And on Christmas Eve, too? I don't think that bringing that horrible little person here will make things better. Where did you get your outfit?
She said to Claus.
At the tip?
Just the tip.
Just the tip. I'm in a hurry,
said Claus.
I have no more. I have a lot more homes to visit tonight. You have 2 wishes each. Now quickly. You first, Sean.
I looked at those claws. They were sharp enough to rip my face off. I decided to humour him. Sally Fritz, I said. She's my favourite rock star. Bring Sally Fritz here for a visit.
Done.
Done.
Suddenly Zan appeared. That's not Sally Fritz.
In a flash, Sally Fritz stood before us. She held a microphone in her hand and was dressed in fishnet stockings, high-heeled shoes, lace panties, and a blouse you could almost see through. Hot as fuck. She must have been in the middle of a concert before Claus produced her in front of us. Her eyes were staring wide. She couldn't work out what had happened. One minute she was on stage in New York, and the next she was in an Australian lounge room with 3 kids and a scruffy little Santa looking at her.
Repulsive,
said Helen.
Mum will kill you for bringing someone like that here.
Oh, slut shaming.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she probably means Santa.
Not cool, Helen.
They haven't mentioned fake boobs yet.
Sally Fritz put her hands up to her mouth. Then she started to scream at the top of her voice. She was scared out of her wits. Quick, I yelled at Claus. Get rid of her. Sally Fritz vanished without a trace, just as quickly as she had arrived.
To the bottom of the ocean.
Well, that's your 2 wishes gone,
said Claus. He looked at Robert.
What's your first wish, lad? What do you want for Christmas?
A machine gun.
Yeah, rub it.
A real machine gun.
A Tommy gun.
A grey steel machine gun materialized in Robert's hands. It was the most real-looking machine gun I'd ever seen. With a cry of joy, Robert pulled the trigger.
I'm going to kill hookers just like Sean.
All right, edit that in. Bullets spat out with a deafening roar. They drilled holes across the floor, up the walls, and across the ceiling. We all dived for cover behind the sofa. When the noise stopped, the room was filled with bitter blue smoke, and the room was in ruins. There were smashed ornaments and pieces of plaster all over the room. Man, why didn't they fucking put that in the episode?
Because we don't have guns.
Oh, yeah, true.
Well, we did back then, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, this is pre Port Arthur, so
yeah.
You probably could just walk into Kmart and get yourself a machine gun. Ho, ho, hot as fuck.
Look!
Gasped Helen.
Mum's grandfather clock. It's smashed to smithereens. You're in big trouble, Robert. Mum will skin you alive for this.
Fuck. Their mum, I think their mum should maybe be seen by like child services or something.
That's really why they're at the hypnotist.
Yeah. Mrs. White is actually their child services person.
Yeah. Robert started to cry. He always cried when he thought he was in trouble.
I don't want it. Stop. He's already dead. I wish I never had it.
The gun disappeared and the room and the clock returned to normal.
Huh. Okay.
That's your two wishes gone,
he said to Robert. Claus looked at Helen.
Now it's your turn, lovely. I don't remember what he said, actually. It was like, darling.
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 Or something.
What are your two wishes, my girl?
Helen stamped her foot in temper.
I don't like you,
she shouted.
I wish none of us had ever heard of
you. I never liked you. The only reason I went out with you.
Suddenly, we were alone in the room. Claus was gone. We all looked at each other. None of us could remember what had happened. We had no memories of Claus at all. He had wiped them all out, but for some reason I can remember them now. Oh, that's why they're at the hypnotist.
The hypnotist was reading over Sean's shoulder. He nodded his head smugly.
The trance,
he said to Mrs. White excitedly.
He remembers because of the trance.
Just in case we hadn't figured that out.
Sean continued writing furiously without saying a word. Not that he could with a mouth the size of a small marble.
And we're back. Well, that's about the end of my story. I still don't know how I got my small mouth. Helen was looking around the room. She couldn't even remember that Claus had been there and promised her two wishes.
I feel as if someone was here,
she said.
But I can't remember who it was or what happened.
Me too, I said. I feel as if someone was talking to us. It had something to do with Santa Claus. I wish I hadn't said that. It reminded Robert of what happened at Myers. He pointed a finger at me and started up again with the phony tears.
You said there was no Santa,
he yelled.
You said he had cotton wool for a beard and a pillow down his shirt.
Robert started jumping up and down and screaming. Then he ran out of the room and slammed the door. Helen was mad at me.
That was mean of you, Sean,
she said.
You shouldn't have told him there was no Santa. I wish you didn't have such a big mouth.
Done.
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 Eyebrow wiggle sound. Emma!
No?
All right, now let's read A Dozen Bloomin' Roses.
I almost feel like you could read this story and get to the end and be like, wait, that's it? And like totally not, like be too stupid to realize the connection to the small mouth.
I could see that. I could see being a younger kid and not getting it, maybe.
The episode of the show makes it way more obvious. Not that it's like, it's obvious enough in the story, but it's kind of funny how it just ends abruptly on that line.
It is kind of funny that there's no like,
yeah,
done like in the show.
Yeah.
Like it literally just ends with the line, I wish you didn't have such a big mouth.
If you have the book that I have, it's got that double cover thing where you open it up and the kid's got the small mouth suddenly because the Santa Claus guy is poking him.
Oh, la-di-da.
Also, if you have the book that I have, it's signed by Paul Jennings.
Oh, I'm so jealous. Hey, guys, the fan mail is pouring in right now. Oh, that's mean. I'm not going to read that one. Or that one. Okay, but this one. Okay, this one says that in the episode of Round the Twist, it is actually Santa Clause number 115,302. Quite a difference from the book version of 16,543.
Yeah, you got to pump it up for the TV audiences.
Wow. Who was that who wrote into us?
Reginald.
Oh, well, congratulations, Reginald. You've just won a shiny new pair of claws.
Bizarre.
You get one untwisted point.
Yeah.
Just one.
Also, you get to be on the show next week.
You can redeem them at the end of season 4 and maybe get some merchandise.
Yeah, at the untwisted gift shop.
You get to be on the next episode of Round the Twist, or Untwisted, or whatever. Both you get to first, you get to be on the next episode of Round the Twist, and then you get to be on the episode where we talk about that episode.
Yeah.
That would be a good prize, because we never have to deliver on the episode of Round the Twist.
No, Paul Jennings does.
Unless it gets rebooted.
No, if they ever make another season or a reboot or anything, we'll do everything in our power to get you on that episode.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we have it in. It's me.
Yeah.
I've slept with Paul Jennings. That affair he had.
Oh my. Oh,
I knew it.
Wow.
That is hot as fuck.
I do feel like that could have been a very TV executive kind of decision to be like, wait, you're saying there's millions of Santa Clauses, but this one's 16,000? That's a very low number. Millions. Let's bump it up to 115,302.
They employed more since the book was written.
I mean, credit to PJ for just like assuming that kids were smart enough to get that last line is the reason why he has the tiny mouth. He's a good cunt.
He didn't want kids that wouldn't get it to like his books at all. So
Yeah.
In the version of the book that I'm looking at, which is online, I'm looking at like a PDF, like scanned version of the book. There's an animation at the very beginning of Santa Claus with the claws. And in the story, it describes him as like lion claws, which is like not that freaky. It's like a paw with like little claws coming out. These claws in this picture are terrifying. These are like long, like vulture-y, like, but like even crazier. These are like monster fucking claws. They're quite freaky. I mean, the ones in the Round the Twist episode are actually pretty freaky looking, but this picture I feel like is even freakier than that. I wonder if they like based what they did off of this little animation, but maybe toned it down slightly.
The picture on my book, which is Uncollected, Every Story from Unreal, Unbelievable, and Quirky Tales, kind of looks like he has Freddy Krueger hands.
Yeah, I think we're looking at the same thing. Is it where he's like facing, it's like him in profile facing like left, and he's got like the one arm out?
Yeah, he's got the sack on his back.
Oh.
And he's like lifting his hands up.
I don't see a sack.
Well, he's got a sack on his back in my version. He's holding his hand up. And it looks like a Freddy Krueger hand.
Yeah, I think I see the same image that Jeremy sees.
Did you see that guy's sack? Yeah, it was weird looking.
You know, I really like the framing of the hypnotist and how it's stuff that he doesn't remember because they wished this whole thing never happened. And then he finally gets to the twist at the end. Maybe it's just because I played the hypnotist, so that's why I like it. But that's really good framing. Good idea for the story.
It is a more interesting idea than a dream.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, but not even just a dream, like a telling a story within a dream.
Yeah, that's right. the flashback within a dream sequence.
Inception.
The dream's collapsing.
Good job, cast. Everybody should take a bow.
Yes.
Insert some applause sound effects, Mr. Foley artist Jeremy.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, what can I say? I graduated. It's over. I did it. I know most of you are saying, hey, any idiot could do that. Well, it was tough for me, so back off! Sorry about that. Yeah, who's Billy? Billy's number one. Yeah!
That's nice. buddy. Yahoo! Yahoo for school! Yahoo for me!
Yeah! Yeah! Well done, Jeremy. You definitely had the most reading. Lamaz also did a very good job.
Well done to you, Josh.
Well done, everyone.
Jeff, you sucked.
I tried to be very subtle. I didn't want to be over the top like Jeremy and Josh and Maz. So
no.
I think it's better acting personally. But
oh, I see how it is.
Yeah. Oh, I see. I think you better drop it.
Oh, it's you. What are you so happy about?
Anyway, I don't know how to end these bonus story reading episodes. I've never done this before, but this was a lot of fun. We should do it again.
Yeah, this is the first story reading episode that we've all done.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
Is there any podcast news or anything? Or no, has nothing been happening?
We've got merch now.
Yes, coffee is coming next.
Copy's coming out tomorrow. whenever you listen to this, it'll be out tomorrow.
Keep your ears open.
Listen to this the day before the copy is released, and it'll be true.
Yeah, that's the best way to handle it. Thanks, fans.
Yeah, thanks for holding up your end.
Yeah, and if you're not, if you listen to it before then, you really fucked up. Can't believe this.
Yeah, you've made a liar out of us, and we just can't abide that, and you're not allowed to listen anymore to the podcast. Sorry. It's just the way it has to be.
Get out of here.
Anyone have any, like, recommendations? Anyone been watching or anything recently? Or
look, I watch Law and Order SVU sometimes just, like, to have something on, and there's a new podcast called That's Messed Up, an SVU podcast. And so far they've only had one episode out, but it was pretty fun. They talk about what happens in the episode, and then they tell you what the real life thing that episode was based on was. And then they also spoke to one of the actors that was in the episode, which also happened to be someone in Grey's Anatomy, which I started watching recently because I'd never seen that show before. So it was funny that that actress was the one they were talking to. But yeah, it was a really interesting podcast. I don't know all the real life crimes and stuff that their episodes are based on, so it's good to hear what they actually are. And I would recommend that.
You know, the only real life crime that I know one of the episodes was based on was back when Mel Gibson got in trouble for saying a lot of
anti-Semitic
things to a and sexist things to a female police officer.
Gal Mibson.
And like a little while after that happened, they had an episode of Law and Order with Chevy Chase starring as a drunk celebrity.
Nice.
It was just very funny to me because, one, Chevy Chase, I mean, God bless him, but he wasn't very good in the role, which is shocking because apparently he's an asshole in real life.
Yeah, it seems like a role made for him.
Easy for him to play.
I know, but his line deliveries were so bad, and it was so, like, so on the nose because you know exactly the story that it's ripping from
it is
the headlines.
Yeah. Was that the normal Law and Order?
It was just so hilarious to
look that one up.
You know, look it up. It's great. I'm not going to repeat what he says because it's
I want to see this.
I want to see this. Yeah.
Just look up Chevy Chase Law and Order. See the clips. It's going to be great.
Mass, have they talked about the Gamergate episode?
They've only done one episode so far.
Okay.
And it was about this rich lady in New York, and she was like kind of an enemy to Trump, like in real life. Like she was a dick, like people hated her. But
like they were next door neighbors and didn't get along. And they like pulled each other.
They just had like a public feud or something. I can't remember her name.
Did she glue a rainbow wig to his head?
That would have been good.
Keeping in mind, I already explained about
the hair.
Or maybe she just glued Donald Trump's actual hair to his head, and he's had him ever since.
Yeah, that's why he has that hair.
Yeah.
We nailed it. We figured it out, guys. Shut it all down. We figured it out.
Shut it down. This podcast has done exactly what we wanted it to do.
Yeah, that's why we started this podcast.
Oh, man.
Well, thank you for joining us for the final episode of Untwisted.
Yeah. What was your recommendation, Josh?
I don't know. I mean,
you don't know.
I've watched a couple things recently. I watched I watch How To with John Wilson, which is a funny show on HBO, which is produced by Nathan Fielder. So like similar to his kind of comedic style. Ooh. So if you like Nathan For You, it's not exactly like that, but it's interesting. It's funny. It's the episodes go in unexpected directions, sometimes very awkward and shocking directions. And then I also watch also on HBO, because everything's on HBO these days. I watched Murder on Middle Beach, which was a 4-episode true crime docuseries, which I don't normally watch true crime stuff, but I was visiting my parents, and yes, we did it very safely, and that's part of the reason the copy's not out yet, is because I had a trip to visit my parents, which we've been planning for months, and had nothing to do with the holidays. I just haven't seen them in almost a year, so needed to go see them when I had the chance, and we were very safe about it. Wore masks, stayed distanced, or wore masks when we were in the same rooms.
Wore masks, wore condoms.
Yeah, we practiced safe.
Cut that out. Full body condoms. Ho ho, hot as fuck.
But my mom likes stuff like that, so she was watching it and I got sucked in, because I don't normally watch it, but when I do see true crime stuff, I get sucked in.
Sucked in.
This was actually really, really good, because it was like almost less about like the whodunit aspect and more about like a drama of like the family drama of like how the murder had affected the family and them like trying to like trust each other, because a bunch of the different like family members were potentially suspects. And some of them like made accusations against other family members, and like the guy making the documentary is actually the murder victim's son. So he is like interviewing all of these family members that he's trying to like reconnect with. He's also like kind of grilling them and trying to learn more about what happened to his mom, but at the same time he's like trying to reestablish like relationships with these people. So it's like really interesting from that perspective.
What a sick cunt.
But Maz, you should definitely.
Maybe I will.
I know you like true crime stuff.
Maybe I will, Milhouse. Maybe I will.
Jeremy, Jeff?
No, I got nothing.
Yeah.
Damn, you didn't finish the Queen's Gambit, Jeff?
Oh yeah, wasn't Jeff watching a thing?
Yeah, I was watching the chess show. It's the girl and the chess and the drugs.
And the bippin' and the boppin'.
It's very good so far. It has a banging soundtrack, good acting, but I haven't finished it. And I don't know. I'm not quite ready to give that recommendation quite yet. Just want to finish it.
Fair enough. Jeremy, you finished Assassin's Creed?
I did. I finished it and the DLCs.
That was Origins, right?
Yes.
Did you like it?
I did like it. I think at first I was like, I don't like how different this is to the... to the last few games, and then I was like, nah, we cool, mate. It took me so long to finish it that by the time I finished it, I forgot what the older games were like anyway. So I was like, this is the only Assassin's Creed that I can remember now.
Yeah, right.
I'm a little surprised Josh's media recommendations did not include every PS5 games, because he's a lucky kid who got the hot ticket Christmas item.
I haven't finished any of them yet. I recommend the PS5. Don't worry, it's not that hard to get your hands on. Just go online. You'll. It's for sale right now. Definitely won't be disappointed and angry.
As of this recording, there's plenty of PS5s to go around.
Yeah.
Going to eBay right now. Holy shit.
What?
He's on eBay.
He's on eBay getting his $100,000 PS5.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
What?
$800. Are you kidding me? I fainted.
Oh.
Wait, really? 800?
That's one of them.
Is that all?
800? That's, like, honestly not that bad.
There's 14 hours left
for,
on that
for
one.
For scalping.
What a world.
Okay, this one has 2 minutes left, and it's at 1,200.
Aha.
That's more than
twice. Yeah, that's more like what I'd expect.
Wait, Jeremy, what are you playing now?
I just started playing Just Cause 4.
Just Cause.
And, like, I literally just started playing it, so
cool.
I feel like I can't even give a critique of it. So far, it definitely is a Just Cause game.
Guys, this is exciting. It just went up to 12:25. There's a minute and 30 seconds left. Where do we think it's going to end?
14,000.
Whoa.
Whoever gets closest wins an untwisted mug or t-shirt.
13:30.
All right, Maz, what's your guess?
How long's left?
13:37.
Now 1 minute and 12 seconds.
Oh, shit. I don't know. 13... 70.
Okay, let's just wait 1 minute.
Watch, it won't go up at all.
We should definitely leave the minute in.
Have some, yeah, Jeremy, you got to put in some really tense music.
Jeff, it's got to be over now.
No, 30 seconds left. It just went to 1270. Now it's 16. 15.
The suspense.
14. 13. 12. 11.
11. 10.
9.
9.
8.
8.
7.
7.
6.
6.
5.
5.
4.
3.
3.
Here 2, comes 2. 2.
1. And it ended at 1270. You all went over and none of you won anything.
Fuck.
Hey, you didn't say closest without going over. You just said closest. Yeah, said closest. So that means I win.
Price is Right rules are implied with any kind of pricing guessing game.
No, you gotta say that shit.
No, come on. Jeremy, back me up.
Anyway, Reginald, congratulations on your new PS5.
I would like for someone to edit in during the countdown. Will this horrible auction never end?
If anyone wants an untwisted sticker or mug or a t-shirt, they can go to our Redbubble shop and get one.
Yeah, I want to say Maz actually sent me an untwisted mug, and it was the sweetest thing ever. It's my favorite mug in the world. Everybody should buy this mug.
Maz sent me an untwisted mug also.
Me as well.
I thought it was just okay.
Wasn't as good as mine, but...
Yeah, I wanted Jeff's.
To be fair, I made Jeff's first, but...
I was really disappointed that I didn't get the good one Jeff mug. If I'm honest. When I saw my own name, I was like, oh, fuck this.
Yeah, I was torn between just giving everyone Good One Jeff and your own personalized one.
Can you buy each name at the Redbubble store?
I can make them public if people really want that.
Did you make one for yourself, Maz? Did you make a Good One, Maz?
Good One, Maz. Not.
Oh, you should.
What a truly selfless act.
Good one, Maz.
Good one, Maz. High five.
And that's the story of how Maz saved Christmas.
Now all three of us are going to get her that mug, and she's going to get three of them.
It's like a No Henry story.
I'll take eight.
Well, also join our Discord. Have fun with us.
Hash untwisted dropkicks.
That's not how they get to it. Where's the Discord link in our Facebook?
I haven't actually linked it yet, but maybe I can put that up.
Oh.
That's why no one's in there.
Damn. Well, by the time you hear this, it will be linked, I think.
Maybe, if you're lucky.
Discord's going to be so full and full of people.
Oh my God, I just realized I forgot to get a picture of myself as a kid.
This bitch.
And I forgot to write my byline or whatever, my little bio.
Maz is so mad she's not even saying anything right now.
Huh? I give so much. I give you guys gifts.
It's all right. I'll send Maz a photo of me as a kid and she can use that.
Second one. It's just the reverse image of what you already gave me.
Also, if you want to join the Untwisted Dropkicks Discord, you can talk to the Joel from that episode that hasn't been released yet.
Yeah, without my pants.
Yeah.
Without my pants.
You can also talk to the Chris from...
Chris. From every episode.
You know, Chris and Sheba from episode
The Sheba from
five?
Spaghetti Pigger.
Yeah.
And the Bianca from Chris.
From Chris. She came out of Chris.
Yeah, from Chris and Bianca.
All right. We love you, everyone. Bye.
Yep. Have a safe holiday.
Ho, ho, hot as fuck, everyone.
Merry Crimbus.
Be safe. Eat lots of lamingtons for me. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy whatever you're doing.
Quasi Kwanzaa.
Just don't get COVID.
A quasi COVID.
Oh my.
Yikes. Cut all of that out.
Yeah.
Have some eggnog and
a solemn, dignified Ramadan.
Concise endings are what Untwisted is all about.
A tip top tet.
A tip top tet.
Xmas, people. Xmas.
All right. I'm going to stop recording.
I'm pressing stop.
Get out of here.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. And a happy new year.